Welcome to the Aging Confidently podcast. I am so glad you're here. I'm Karen Weaver, your host, and let's just jump right in. Today, we're talking with Katie Johnson, who, full disclosure, Katie Johnson is one of my best friends. We went to Clemson together. We were roommates at Clemson together, so we have a lot of stories about each other. She would entertain me endlessly with Broadway reviews on the desk and trying to distract me from doing my homework. But we've had a lot of good times together. I know her family well, and I've always admired Katie's family culture, basically. And I've asked her to talk a little bit with us today about how she, growing up, and looking back now as a mom, how her family culture was built, how that kind of influences her family today, and any tips and tricks or things that her parents did, maybe things she's doing now that could help us out. So, first of all, though, I always believe that learning how other people's stories often inspire our own. So I want Katie to just talk a little bit with us about how she got to where she is today.
Thank you, Karen.
Yes.
I'm so excited to be here, and your studio is lovely. I mean, just really, really appreciate you letting me be here today. I was blown away when you gave such great words about my family. I feel like one of the biggest reasons that I do have such a close-knit family is being an Army brat. Mm. And so a lot of that just had to do with necessity of when you moved, and this, you don't have to necessarily be an Army brat. It could be someone who's heavily involved with a corporate mm-hmm. job where they had to move around a lot. But, you know, when you moved to a new city and you didn't have a whole lot of friends, you really relied on your parents. So one thing that we had was just a closeness. Mm-hmm. We also would do a lot of things together as a family on the weekends or during the week where we made specific efforts to be mm-hmm. together as a working pod of mm-hmm. four. And we joke, my husband jokes that he's never seen anyone move around together when we're together for a family reunion yeah. or together for a football game, that we always all just kind of seem to be together.
And you like to be together.
And we like to be together. Yeah. We make one another laugh. Humor's
yes.
a big,
oh
big
gosh.
Part of that,
yes.
like making each other laugh. Mm-hmm. Spending time around the dinner table, it was always a priority. I remember my dad used to work pretty far away from the house when we lived in Northern Virginia. He worked in the Pentagon. By the way, I'm an Army, if I didn't already say that, I am an Army brat. Mm-hmm. And so we would wait until he got home at night to eat. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it would be 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
What did y'all do as kids? I mean, were you just like beating down the counter?
I don't remember us beating down
thing?
The counter. I
yeah.
think we were so involved in all these activities, yeah. sports and drama. And mm-hmm. you mentioned my singing Broadway shows.
Should we do a little something?
Right, I know. Oh, the one I used to sing to Karen all the time was from A Chorus Line.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
well,
I'm not singing. But
come on.
No. In fact, as I look around the studio, I'm seeing that there's some props, or what look like props from Wicked.
Oh.
Is that what that is?
Oh,
the green, the Wizard of Oz? Anyway, we digress.
We digress.
So the biggest part of that family culture was that we wanted to be around one another. Mm-hmm. And we made efforts to be around one another and to support one another, be able mm-hmm. to go to each other's events mm-hmm. and activities. And, you know, I struggle with that now as a parent. My husband travels a lot with work, mm-hmm. and I now have a job where I'm working, and our children are at the ages where they're doing different things at different sides of town, and so you still want to try to find a way that we can all be together and support one another, and it's not easy, mm-hmm. but I think the value in creating a good family culture is making that important.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and I were just talking today about how we need to get rid of our phones. I mean, mm-hmm. literally, if we could all get rid of our cell mm-hmm. phones in our house. That where we see our teenage son and daughter, and ourselves mm-hmm. in our lack of communication
yeah.
these days, and our lack of connection and intimacy, is because of technology.
Yeah.
So we had a long talk this morning about what are we going to do,
mm-hmm.
and let's do it the right way. Let's make it a group discussion mm-hmm. around the table.
Mm-hmm.
But how are we going to re-engage
yeah.
and connect as a family? So it's a constant work in process.
Yeah.
You know, about
especially with teenagers, because you know. You think about the iPhone's only been around 10, 11 years. You know, you have, how old are yours?
14 and 13.
14 and 13. Mm-hmm. Mine are 19, 17, 15. So they have grown up with cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know anything different. So it is hard to, you are going against the grain. Let's just put it that way. Because so many parents kind of don't do that.
Yeah.
Or they just get tired. I'm one of them. I'm so tired by the time, you know, my third is 15. Like I said, my oldest is 19. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Well, no. I'm exhausted. So I think that's great to be intentional about. You have to be intentional about it. Are there things that you can remember like doing around the dinner table growing up that you still do now? Or, you know, because I know you guys are a funny family, you and your brother, mom and dad. Was there anything that kind of, any rituals or traditions?
Well, we don't have those rituals now. I wish we did.
Mm-hmm.
We have a different type of ritual in our house.
Okay.
It's a different type of sense of humor now with Chris and the kids than I had with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But you were right. We would make each other laugh. My fondest memories of childhood were that laughter,
mm-hmm.
where you can't stop laughing, and
right.
then it makes somebody else laugh
right.
hard at the table. That happened at our dinner table once a week.
Yeah.
And I miss that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time I had that kind of laugh. Well, I actually can remember, but it's not appropriate. But in our with Chris and I and the kids, it's a little bit more ribbing one another, which is okay too. I mean, healthy ribbing, and I'm learning how to adjust to that, how a little bit of sarcasm and I don't know, just that fun-natured kind of poking and prodding
right.
one another. That happens more around our table. And we laugh. And Charlie's our big jokester,
mm-hmm.
my 13-year-old son, Charlie. He loves telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got more Cox in him than he's got Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I love to see the connection between Chris and the kids because
mm-hmm.
he's not around all the time as mm-hmm. much as I have been. So that's a good time for us to be
yeah.
you know, together.
Yeah,
and,
that's great.
And to catch up, yeah.
So, you know, I know you are still volunteer extraordinaire, have been a stay-at-home mom, but barely staying at home. I think the husband threatened divorce at one point if you signed up for one more committee.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I wanted to divorce me, too.
I guess my question is now, so you've done that, and now just in the past 2 years, you've transitioned back into the workforce, finding a job that still very much is mom of younger kids friendly, like still being home. And I know it's pretty incredible. You put together this checklist and this job checked all the boxes. So that's fantastic. What can you, and that's part of aging, right? That's part of aging confidently, is as the kids get to new stages, we should always be looking at ourselves and what's that next stage? How are we going to set ourselves up for when they go off to college? What are we going to be doing? But not just waiting for them to do that. Not
yeah.
waiting for them to go off to college to do that. To kind of, again, it's all about living intentionally
yes.
with that plan. So with that being said, I know you have this job. It may not be your career, but it's something that you, I know, are enjoying and growing in. And I'd love to hear kind of what that transition looked like for you from being the stay-at-home mom where your schedule was your own to now having to be someplace.
That is an awesome question. And if you want genuine and honest emotion in this podcast, forgive me if I get upset, because mm-hmm. it was a pivotal moment in my marriage and in my family life where my husband looked at me and he said, okay, let me back up and say that I enjoyed volunteering, but I'd become burned out.
Yeah.
And I was heavily involved,
yes.
as you mentioned. And I always wanted to go back to work,
mm-hmm.
but because of the volunteering, that just pushed off and pushed off and pushed off
mm-hmm.
what I had set as a goal for myself. And not in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
by any means. I was very happy and delighted to be involved in my community, in my church, in whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when Chris said to me, "You are miserable." And at first I thought, that can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really be putting off this emotion because I didn't feel like that's the way it was supposed to be. But he was dead on.
Mm.
And so...
Hold on. How did you react when he said that?
I think I was about to say I hated it, but I really was put off.
Yeah.
That's true.
Offended,
I was a little bit offended.
Yeah, okay.
I thought, how dare you tell me...
I'm miserable.
...that I'm miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But he was completely right.
Yeah, right.
And I think a lot of times you have that initial reaction,
mm-hmm.
and then you take a step back and you do a lot of self-reflection, and
right.
you say, my gosh, I am miserable.
Right.
I was sick of cleaning. I was sick of cooking. I was sick of volunteering. I was sick of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not taking care of me, as you said. You begin to realize there comes a time when you've been a mom and a wife, but have you been Katie?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to do little things along the way there to get back to self, but it wasn't until I went back to the workforce that I finally thought, okay, this is for you now. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it. It's a job that allows me a lot of flexibility. I can work 9 to 3. I'm home in the afternoon still. I'm my second job, by the way, is mom Uber, right? I'm a Moober, right. Driving the kids to their various activities. But I love that because I can listen to them in the car. It's a good connection time. I can hear what their friends are saying. I've only got one more year before my daughter is driving.
Yeah.
But going back to work helped me, as you mentioned, find a path back to what is it like to be a provider in the house? What is it like to feel independent again? What is it like to re-engage and connect with other grown-ups and adults? Mm-hmm. I happen to work in an interesting job where I work for a criminal defense attorney who specializes in DUI. And so I've learned a lot just about the law, mm-hmm. and about our community and about what it means to be a criminal or what it means to have empathy, mm-hmm. what it means to have a lot of different things. Where I always wanted to go back and work in a law firm. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be this kind of law firm, but I'm excited that the opportunity presented itself. And I've also picked up a few side jobs, mm-hmm. here and there, mm-hmm. just to help pay for things and to feel connection, mm-hmm. especially with women. I was doing a lot, you know, you and I were heavily involved in kind of that multi-level marketing where we were able to get together with women and just be in community while also trying to make them look and feel young and better and beautiful. So, you know, I that's kind of an honest answer to going back to work. I wasn't dragging my heels, mm-hmm. but I was a little bit shocked that it was time for me to go back to work.
What was the biggest transition point for you? Time management?
Time management.
Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah.
A year and a half in. How mm-hmm. do I get a hot meal on the table? Mm-hmm. I mean, I commend, everybody always says, oh, the stay-at-home mom, she works so hard. And she does. And the stay-at-home dad.
We've both been that years.
So I always thought, while the working mom, it was pretty impressive to me to not only work, but then to do all the other stuff.
Right.
Be the driver. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about women here, but I know there are a lot of men who share in those responsibilities. But so the biggest transition was definitely time management.
Yeah.
And I've lost. I need to figure out how to continue to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. There were some things that I gave up in going back to work that mm-hmm. were health and wellness management,
mm-hmm.
working out, mm-hmm. or spending more time, you know, going to get your hair cut and mm-hmm. things like that you do to make yourself feel good. I have really not found a way successfully mm-hmm. to fit that into my schedule just yet.
Yeah,
without it being, you know, flawless, or you know what I'm trying to say?
Too disruptive of the rest of the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. So for this next kind of chapter of your life, or as you have gotten back into the workforce, well, my first question actually would be, from working in the law office, have you seen any aspects of that job that once your kids are truly off and, you know, in college on their own, do you know what you might want to do next?
Mm-hmm. I've started to think about that, but I'm not quite sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not going to do this job forever.
Yeah.
And I have a wonderful attorney who looks at me and says, I know you're not going to be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he appreciates the time, and I appreciate the time that he's given me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely planning on doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little side job selling CBD oil,
yeah.
which of course is an industry that's growing. But again, that's kind of a side business. I'm enjoying mm-hmm. doing that mm-hmm. as something to fall back on, but I still would like to do something that would fit into what I'm doing at the law firm.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved marketing and advertising when I was in it, and even corporate sales training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that wouldn't be something that I would be opposed to going back into.
You know, and I think it's interesting too, as we're getting older, so much, we've lived, you know, 45 plus years, that half of the battle is figuring out what we don't want to do. So it's nice to be in this next half where we know what we like to do and what we're good at. I mean, and we can say it, I'm good at this and this and this. I've done it. I've proven it over and over again. And so I think it's fun. Like, that adventure piece is so much fun. And I really hope that people look at the next chapter after the kids are grown and gone as an adventure and as an opportunity and something that's wonderful, you know, that can be the best chapter. I mean, I was listening to a podcast, and I was listening to the podcast about Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that the colonel didn't fry his first piece of chicken until 67. 67. But you think about Kentucky Fried Chicken being ever. Right. Uh-huh. So, I mean, there's time, I guess, is what I'm saying. So it's great that you're in it and kind of learning about yourself. And the more people can do that, I think it's very fulfilling. So good for you for getting back out there, because it definitely takes some courage.
Well, to interrupt you there, yeah, on that point, I have seen more of my friends who went to college for one degree.
Yeah.
And have completely shift careers. Mm-hmm. And they're doing now what they have found is their passion.
Right.
Especially, you know, you are doing that. Mm-hmm. So there is hope. I see it all around, and it does give me hope. One bucket list item that I'd like to do is do a TED Talk. I don't know yet what it would be about, but that would be a bucket list thing for me. But that's not a career. That's just a...
That's a great goal
to strive for.
Yeah. And then because you also then have a life of curiosity with that goal being in mind, looking at, that interests me. That makes me curious. So that's where you're going to find your TED Talk, you know, is being curious about just life in general.
Sure.
As you're looking at that kind of with that frame of reference. So... but you're right. There are so many people. I tell my kids now that are going to college, I'm like, the chances of you doing what you're going to get a degree, unless you're a doctor, or, well, even a lawyer, my goodness. I know, you know, we have a friend that was a very high-powered attorney that's now doing something completely different. But there is no one path.
Yeah.
And there is some freedom in that. And I think, too, if we can just relay that to our children, I know we're all over the board with this particular podcast, but who cares? If we can convey that to our children in a, you know, kind of take the stress off, and you don't have to know what you're going to do in college, just pick something, just start somewhere, and you're going to figure out whether you like it or if you hate it. And then you change it and you move, and that's just the rest of your life. Yeah. So to start that process early, and to let them have that freedom and give ourselves that freedom, too, to kind of explore. And anyway, I think that that's super important and helpful.
Absolutely.
What else? Anything with regards to returning?
Returning to the workforce?
Yeah,
well, I was just thinking about, as you were talking about that and children, one of the things that, as I think about the name of your podcast, mm-hmm, and Aging Confidently, what that has meant to me, mm-hmm, I've got a lot of insecurities, like a lot of women, about my outward appearance, mm-hmm, and that's things that I struggle with all the time. But what is really what has made me confident in my aging is something that you touched on, and that's that I have this new confidence in the fact that I've got knowledge and wisdom and intuition and experience that I can now share with younger women.
That's right.
And younger men. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that, being, mm-hmm, asked questions. And one of the things recently that somebody asked me was, how do I balance structure and flexibility in a house with smaller children? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you set rules that are important to the family, mm-hmm, that would impact their health and wellness of not only the children, but you and your spouse, and you don't deviate from those.
Right.
And then you have flexibility and fun and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I can confidently say that to someone, mm-hmm, because I've now lived it and I've experienced it.
Right.
And I think it's valuable to share as aging mothers, mm-hmm, as aging fathers, to share that with a younger generation.
Right.
Or a friend of ours that just, who's older, who's my age, who just had two boys, and it's like, how do I navigate this?
Right.
As an adult, you know, they don't have to be younger, they can be our age, but they have younger children.
Right.
And so they just haven't been there to experience it. Right. So when I think of aging gracefully or aging confidently, it truly is that with age comes wisdom, mm-hmm, comes intuition, mm-hmm, comes expertise.
Yeah.
Comes that experience that you can share and share it confidently, and it feels good. It feels good to be able to help others.
It does feel good. And really, that's really why I wanted to do this podcast, because the physical, you know, if you've grown up as a beautiful girl and woman, that will go away. Mm-hmm. No matter how much Botox and fillers you get or any of that, you are eventually going to get old if you're lucky, right? I mean, we have plenty of friends that have passed away in their 40s and who would love to be getting older. So the purpose really is just that, to let's take as much off the physical. I mean, I know it's in our face all the time, so it's hard, but take as much off the physical and really go inward and, mm-hmm, grow beautifully on the inside. I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but really try to work on that inside piece, because that's what makes you beautiful as you get older, is the generosity, is the gratitude, is that kind of giving back and helping younger moms or whatever. That's the beautiful part. Yeah. And that is aging confidently. Way more, 99% more than the physical.
And also trying not to beat yourself up for those things.
Right.
That the goals that you may have set, mm-hmm. or the stumbling block that you came upon in your aging process, and
right.
those things that have, and looking inward at all the goodness and all the things that you, the, finding the confidence, finding the things that you're most proud of, mm-hmm. and how you can contribute. And
absolutely.
It helps. Mm-hmm. You can get down on yourself real quick.
I know.
And just if you gotta, as long as you're able to spring right back out and mm-hmm. say, you know what, I'm not going to go down there. I'm going to.
That's right. It's mindset for yeah. sure. I know you're a big podcast listener and book reader. So are there any resources that you have found that have been helpful through this process of, you know, or entertaining? If you need a good laugh when you're driving down the road.
I joke that I listen to podcasts all the time.
I know.
But I'm also willing to skip through a lot of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question.
Are there any favorites that come right to
mind?
Oh,
I love Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard, okay.
What have I been listening to? I've been trying to listen to a lot of, you know, Brené Brown.
Yeah.
I love, but I love a lot of Christian podcasts
mm-hmm.
that. You know, I don't wear my faith on my sleeve very much, but I'm not afraid at all to say that I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of times when I'm not confident in my abilities, I'm able to say it doesn't matter what my abilities are.
Right.
You know, I just have to be. I just have to believe that it's going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of that, you know, a lot of podcasts that just touch on faith and
kind of lift you up when
mm-hmm.
you need it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of friends that are doing podcasts
mm-hmm.
now. And
mm-hmm.
so I think that podcasts are a great way to, like you said, searching on whatever it may be that you're thinking about or that,
mm-hmm.
that you're feeling.
Yeah.
You can find it out there.
You're not alone.
You're not alone.
For sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. Well, this, you know, honestly has been my first test run, and I have loved having Katie on here. This is a conversation that she and I would have sitting at our local watering hole called Community Tap over a beer. This is kind of the stuff that we talk about, and I know you guys do too. So, I appreciate you listening, and if you've learned something today that's been helpful, I would ask you to share this podcast with your friends. If you don't mind going on and subscribing, rating, reviewing, we are just getting started. I have a lot of great guests lined up, and we are going to actually be live here the second and fourth Tuesday of each month at 10 a.m. Eastern. So if you want to be a part of that, you can go to the Aging Confidently Facebook page and just follow that. That's where it'll be live, and we will be watching comments real-time streaming. If you have anything that you want to learn about, please post it there. And I really would like to create a community where we can support each other and know we are not alone in this aging journey. So we are all beautiful and have so much to offer this world, especially when we come from a place of gratitude and confidence. So let's age confidently together and turn the so-called midlife crisis into a midlife inspiration. See you next time.